Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining me in our continuing series on the study of the book of James. Today we are going to be looking at chapter 4, verses 7 to 10. Now I'm sure that every one of us has at one time or another been to the doctor. When you go to the doctor's rooms or a hospital, you are almost certain to experience the universally taught approach that the doctor takes in seeking to treat the illness or problem that you came in with. That approach starts with asking you to describe your complaint and share your medical history together with other relevant life events that brought you to the point of seeking help. The doctor will also ask questions to elicit what's really worrying you, what other medicines you are taking, as well as symptoms you may be experiencing. This will be followed by taking some measurements, such as pulse rate, blood pressure, and temperature, and an examination of the affected parts of the body to find signs which point to the underlying problem. For example, the doctor may peer into your eyes with a powerful light, examine your throat, or move a sore limb to see what's normal and what's not. Armed with all this information, the doctor puts a comprehensive picture together, applies years of learning and experience, and hopefully arrives at a diagnosis of the actual disease which is causing the signs and symptoms. Finally, she reaches for the writing pad, and with a flourish of secret code meant only for pharmacists, writes out a prescription for you to action. Either things to do, or medicines to take so that you can get better. Well, up to where we are in chapter 4 of the book of James so far, Dr. James has made a diagnosis of a serious malady affecting Christians and those who claim to be Christians. The disease affecting the church is deep-seated and deadly. It is the disease of worldliness, and it affects the church just as much today as back in the first century, possibly even worse. James describes the symptoms and the signs of worldliness in the verses leading up to our passage, which were part of earlier studies in the last 2 weeks. These include so-called faith without works, fighting and quarreling in the church and at home, killing, both literal and figurative, covetousness and greed, base motives, adultery and hedonism. And now, with an accurate diagnosis of worldliness to hand, Dr. James takes out the pad and writes the prescription of the medicine for worldliness, starting at verse 7. Let's read together. I'm reading from the NIV. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Wow, that's quite strong medicine. Let's take a more detailed look at this prescription to cure worldliness. Firstly, stop it. Self-isolate. Look at verses 7 to 8a. Get away from the source of the infection. Abandon worldly ways. Submit yourself to the true God, that is Yahweh, and Him only. You cannot have it any other way. Jesus will not be second to His creation. James makes this plain back in verse 4. That friendship with the world is enmity against God. And Jesus insists in Matthew 6 that no one can serve two masters. We cannot love God and money. So stop it. But there is an immediate promise that if you do what the doctor says, if you resist the devil and his worldly enticement, and instead draw near to Jesus, then the false god of this world will flee. We will come back to this assurance later. The second line on the script is, deal with the outside. Look at verse 8b. Wash your hands, you sinners, says James. With COVID-19 all around us, we have heard so much about washing our hands to keep the virus at bay. Everyone is plying the sanitizer and soap, and every shop sprays just about everything that moves and doesn't move before you can enter. It's a new way of behaving. James's instruction of washing your hands is a metaphor for fixing up your behavior, or what can be seen. Your speech, your actions, where you go, the company you keep, and what you engage in. Of course, we must bear in mind that this hand washing, this fixing of the outside behavior, is only treating the symptoms of the disease and not the virus of worldliness itself. It's a bit like taking a painkiller to mask the pain or putting a clean new dressing on a septic wound. We can be in danger of appearing outwardly holy whilst all is collapsing within. Jesus compares this kind of half job to a tomb. Whitewashed marble on the outside, but rotten on the inside. So there must be more to the prescription than just fixing behavior for the cure to be complete. And James gets straight to it. The third line of the script is to fix the inside, verse 8c. James demands that we purify our hearts, because that is where the real cause of worldliness lies. The heart is the center and seat of our spiritual life. And he describes the root cause even more graphically. Using a term that he used also in chapter 1, James calls the worldly Christian double-minded. The Greek word is dipsukos, which transliterates as two-souled or two-spirited, or perhaps closer to our modern understanding, having two psyches. He describes the worldly Christian as something of a spiritual schizophrenic, severely divided in interest. Now, schizophrenia as a mental health disease is in the same medical league as cancer, incredibly difficult to treat and cure, often needing extreme measures. In the same way, unless this double-minded heart cause of worldliness is radically treated or cut out like a cancer, all the hand washing in the world won't help at all. And this treatment must be so deep that James adds terms of intensity to his script in verse 9. Our repentance and worldly abandonment must be ruthless, exposing our wretchedness. Our sorrow over sin must be like mourning at a funeral instead of the laughter of parties. And a spiritual gloom must replace the worldly joy we had before. In other words, the strong stuff. Please note that James does not mean that Christians are to be killjoys and miserable as a rule. That would be contrary to a host of scripture elsewhere. No, this is medicine targeted at worldliness, a level of repentance intended to replace failed worldly happiness with true joy through spiritual surgery. The problem with James's prescription is that whilst it is absolutely accurate and orders the right medicine for the disease, it is absolutely impossible to fulfill. We cannot do what he commands in our own strength. Self-isolation, hand-washing, and self-inflicted surgery will not fix the worldly heart in and of itself. What we really need is a heart transplant. We need the master surgeon. We need Jesus. Only his spirit can give us a healthy heart of flesh to replace our worldly heart of stone. And even then, after our heart transplant, the great physician needs to work on the rest of the body that has been wrecked by years working under the old heart. James's prescription of submission and sanctification is as much a work of God through faith as our salvation was in the first place. We cannot start with salvation through faith and then bash on with sanctification in our own strength thereafter. Jesus must be the author and the perfecter of our faith, and he must continue to prune our branches to perfect the fruit. Like any prescription, the medicine only works if you take it. I cannot tell you how many times doctors come across patients who get the script, fetch the medicines at the pharmacy, and then leave them on the shelf, only to wonder why they don't get better. Or they're advised to cut the sugar to cure the diabetes, but they carry on with the carbohydrates undaunted. So we are reminded not to merely listen to the word and so deceive ourselves. We must do what the scripture says. Returning to the assurance I mentioned earlier, where God promises he will draw near to us if we draw near to him, James finishes his script in verse 10 with a further assurance that if worldly Christians humble themselves before the Lord, subjecting themselves to his knife and medication, he guarantees their healing and that he will lift them up. So, Christian brother or sister, if you find yourself convicted by the Spirit on this worldliness issue right now, or like me, are struggling with slow progress in sanctification because of worldly influence, take up Dr. James's prescription. Go to the pharmacy of heaven in prayer and hear the promise of the eternal God to his church in Isaiah 30, verse 18. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. People of Zion, who live in Jerusalem, church in 2020, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. May the God of peace be with us all today and ultimately present us faultless with great joy into his presence. Have a wonderful day. Amen.